We turn this evening to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and read the verses 19 to the end. Matthew 6, reading the verses 19 to the end, where the Lord Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, beginning at chapter 5, about the blessed citizens of the kingdom, and then of the character of the kingdom, that we should be given to prayer, fasting, and also not worry and anxiety. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The text for this prayer service is taken from Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Dear congregation, how do we prioritize? I mean, there are so many things to do, but how do you know what order to do them in? And what comes first? Well, that's why we prioritize. And some in the world of business have done that very well. But how do you know what to do first? How do you determine that? And I realize that there are prioritization systems, books that we can read and charts which we can make which might help us. If it's urgent and important, you do it first. If it's not that urgent or that important, you don't do it first. But here the Lord Jesus tells us how to prioritize, how to set first things first when he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Our theme is seeking first God's kingdom. Seeking first God's kingdom. We'll see, first of all, the priority, secondly, the pursuit, and thirdly, the promise. Seeking first God's kingdom, first of all, the priority, secondly, the pursuit, and thirdly, the promise. The Lord Jesus Christ in these verses in the Sermon on the Mount is addressing our tendency to worry and to be filled with anxiety. And there can be so many things that we can worry about or are anxious about. We can be anxious about our past, or we can be anxious about our future. We can be worried about things that may never happen. We might worry about our health, afraid of receiving a terrible diagnosis when we might not be sick at all. Or we can worry about money. Will we have enough? Or if we have money, what if we lose it? We can be anxious about not being in a relationship, or we can be anxious when we are in a relationship. We might worry what other people think of us. We might worry about school, church, the world. The old can worry, the young can worry. Men can be anxious, women can be anxious. But the Lord Jesus says that this should not mark God's people. Yes, we need food, and we need clothing, and we need drink, and we have a task to do in this world. We have to do our work, but we should not become anxious about it all or worry about it all, because he says to his disciples, you have a Father who knows what your needs are. So don't give yourself to worrying. Give yourself to seeking. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What should have the priority in our lives? Jesus says the kingdom of God should have priority in our lives. God's kingdom should be first in our lives. Now, what is meant with God's kingdom? Oh, when the Bible speaks of God's kingdom, someone has said it could mean God's kingdom of government, or God's kingdom of grace, or God's kingdom of glory. Yes, it's possible. Sometimes it speaks of God's kingdom of government, by which God rules over everything. God is king forever. He rules over everything and does what pleases him in heaven and in earth. Psalm 135 or 6. He directs all things, the big things that happen in our world and the small things. He's in control of the sun and the moon, and the stars, the world, the big things and the small things, the flight of a sparrow and the fall of the hare. There is God's kingdom of government. There is also God's kingdom of grace. His spiritual rule in the hearts and lives of God's people, whereby he shows you himself in grace. He shows himself in his grace to sinful people. He reveals his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them. He gives them the benefits of salvation. He brings sinners to surrender at his feet. He rules them by his word and spirit. The kingdom of his grace, the reign of grace in hearts and lives by his Holy Spirit. And then there is the kingdom of God's glory in heaven. The kingdom where his people are saved to sin no more. I think what the Lord Jesus has particularly in mind is the kingdom of his grace, whereby he shows his favor, whereby he brings you into a relationship with himself, whereby he hands out his benefits and he shows himself as king and savior in your life. Shall we look at some of those things enjoyed in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of his grace? Well, there is the favor of God, the undeserved favor of God, whereby you have a relationship with Him, if it's right, whereby you are embraced by Him as the prodigal son upon his return back to the Father. He's embraced and he receives the love of the Father and the grace of the Father. And that relationship of love and grace can't be undone. It can't be changed. It remains. You know, people who have served in high positions in our world, they've lost those positions, some of them. Members of the royal family can fall out of honor and positions and favor. But those who belong to the kingdom of God cannot fall out of the favor of God and a relationship with God. I'm not saying that they don't backslide, that there's no remaining sin and infirmities in them. There is this favor of God that He doesn't take away. There's a relationship with God. There is communion with God. There's fellowship with God. There's love of God. It's known and it's experienced in your life. And I wonder if you know something about this relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, whereby you call Him Father, know Him as Savior. It's marked by a relationship. The kingdom of God in grace is marked by a relationship, and it's marked also by righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus says. Now, every kingdom has its own distinguishing feature. Each country is marked by its distinguishing feature. In Holland, maybe, the country that most of us have our roots from, it's known for its klompen, its wooden shoes, or it's known for tulips. Now, what marks the kingdoms of this world is the pursuit of pleasure and living for the stuff of here and now. But the Lord Jesus says that the kingdom of God is marked by righteousness. And what is that? It's to be in a right relationship with God. Right with God. It was the burden of Luther. It's the burden of the troubled soul. But how can we be in a right relationship with God? Can we do that by ourselves? Do we have this by nature? Are we righteous by practice? No, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 4. Well, how then can we be right with God? How can we then be accepted by God? How can we be received into His kingdom then? Well, only if we have the righteousness of another. Only if we have the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Romans 3:22. Yes, that's the way to be accepted by the Father. That's the way to belong to that kingdom, if we have the righteousness of another. And it's what Matthew 6 verse 33 speaks about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not our own righteousness. We don't have that. We never attain to that, but we don't need to. He gives it. He has it. He supplies it. We need the robe of righteousness which the Lord Jesus has woven by His active and by His passive obedience. We need the robe of righteousness. As Robert Murray McShane said, I am dressed in a beauty not my own. And we not only want that righteousness imputed in justification, we also, if the Lord is ours, we want that righteousness imparted in sanctification, so that we follow after righteousness. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 11, follow after righteousness, till we are presented before him without fault. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is in that place where dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Here is something. Don't you think this is worth pursuing? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Having a relationship with God through the righteousness of another. God's kingdom of grace. What does the greatest amount that you've had on a check given to you compare to this? What can you weigh next to this and put in the balances and find it kind of comes close to what is spoken of here, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his favor? Here is something that doesn't compare. Nothing can fit in the balances alongside of it. Here is something that's worth living for. Here is something worth pursuing. Here is something that we need. And yes, the Lord Jesus speaks about the pursuit in our second point. How should it be pursued? There's this kingdom of God and his righteousness. How should it be pursued? The Lord Jesus says, seek first. Let me stand still at those two words here. Seek and first. Seek. Now, and then we think of looking for something and searching for something. And then especially because we've lost something. You've lost your keys. You can't find where you've placed them, or you've lost your glasses, or you lost your cell phone. You didn't put them in a regular spot, maybe. And maybe that's the picture here, that we need to seek God's kingdom because we've turned our back on God's kingdom, and we've given ourselves to the kingdom of Satan in the fallen Adam. In Adam, we said, we don't want the Lord God to reign over us. And we've lost the kingdom, and if the Lord were to leave us to ourselves and to the destruction that we have brought upon ourselves by our sin, it would be just. We've lost the kingdom in paradise. We've lost the kingdom in Adam. And the world has come under the darkness of sin, and we belong to the kingdom of Satan. But in the gospel, God sets up his kingdom. And in the person of the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God comes to the earth. And he's come to establish his kingdom, and he's come to bring sinners into that kingdom, bringing them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, bringing them from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the sovereign. And the kingdom of God has come among us in Jesus. The kingdom of God has come down to us in the person of Jesus, and we can find the kingdom through him. And we can enter it through him. And we can belong to it through him. And we can enjoy the benefits and the grace in the kingdom through him. And therefore seek it. Because we've lost it. And in the person of Jesus, he comes, and he comes close to us. And he says, here is something you need to seek for. Or, as the meaning also may be, set your heart on this kingdom. Set your heart on this kingdom. And you won't seek for this kingdom if your heart isn't set on this kingdom, right? There has to be this change of affection. There needs to be love poured out into our hearts so that you seek for it with your life. Yes, you seek for it with your life when your heart is set on it by grace. And when the gospel writer records this imperative in Matthew 6:33, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he uses the present tense, meaning to say that we have to keep seeking, keep doing this. This is an ongoing sense. Seek it and keep seeking it with your life and with your heart, and keep setting your heart on it by grace. Seek first. The second word I wanted to come to now It needs to have priority in our life. It has to have the preeminent concern in our heart and life, that when we make a list of things to do, as some of us do, whether that be a short-term list or a long-term list, whether that be a list for the week or a list for the year or a list for a day, at the top of the list, above it all, is seek first the kingdom of God. This is to be preferred above anything and everything else. Seek first. Do I need to spell out what that looks like? Let me spell it out with four things. First of all, the kingdom of God should be first in our interest. The kingdom of God should be first in our interest. If it doesn't have our interest, if it doesn't have first place in our heart, how can it have first place in our lives? I know there are many things that take up our interest. For some of us, that's politics, maybe. Or how the economy is doing. Or the latest numbers. Or our work. Or a certain sports team. We read about them. And we follow them. And we watch them, maybe. But Jesus says that in the Christian life, the kingdom of God should have first interest. Our chief desire, this kingdom of God ought to be our love. The God of that kingdom, the King of that kingdom, the honor of that kingdom, the righteousness of that kingdom. It has to be uppermost in our heart. First in our interest. Let's start there. And it shows us, doesn't it, that that's why we need to be born again. That's why we need to be born from above. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, except we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We can't enter the kingdom of God. That's why we need to be born again. That's why we need the Spirit to renew us and make us see things that we don't see by nature. That's why we need Him to show us our sin and our rebellion and make us reckon with God. His holiness and His kingdom. And our need to be reconciled to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to Him and learn to love Him and love His kingdom. That may be the message that you need to hear in this service. Because He doesn't come first in your life. That's why you don't seek Him first in your life, young people. That's why you need to be born again. Shall you not seek that? Ask for Him. Grant me the new birth. Bring me to love Thee. Change my heart. Make me seek Thee, Thy King, and this King and His kingdom, and have a relationship with Thee. And enjoy a righteousness from Thee. First, it must be first in our interest. Secondly, it should be first in our life. Seek early in your life, young people. Seek early in your life, boys and girls. I'm glad you came along to church tonight. The Lord wants to meet you here tonight, boys and girls and young people. He wants to speak to you. He says to you, seek first in your young years, your early years. Don't wait till you're older. Don't wait till later. You see, in your young years, so much happens. There's so many changes in your life. You're growing. You're learning. There are many things you experience. You've got big decisions to make. And you're learning. And you've got to get a job. And you need a good education. And you're hoping to be married. You should be thinking about those things when you're young. But before everything else in your life, young people and boys and girls, seek first the kingdom of God. I know school is important. And what job you get is important. And who you marry is important, very important. But more important than all of that is that you seek
first the kingdom of God. What guarantee do you have that everything else will be added to you, given to you, if you don't seek first Jesus Christ and ask Him to convert you and ask Him to renew you? Young people, you should be first in your life. Doesn't He not say, Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love them that love Me, and those that seek Me early shall find Me. First in our interest. First in our life. Thirdly, first in your day. First in your day. What do you do when you wake up in the morning? First thing. Or one of the first things. Do you pray? Do you seek God? Do we want to give Him the first part of our day? The first minutes of our day? Or when we get up in the morning, do we say, well, I'll give God the last minutes of our day? When we're tired and when we're drowsy. Jesus is saying, the first moments of your day. Psalm 143 says that too. When morning lights the eastern sky, O Lord, Thy mercy show. His mercies are new every morning, and I need those mercies, and I want those mercies when I wake up, and I want the benefits of His grace in my heart and life, and I need His righteousness again, and I want to know the relationship with Him, and I ask Him for daily bread in the morning, and for daily strength, and for daily wisdom, and for daily mercy. Is that what you do in the morning? Or do you get up too late because you went to bed too late and you're in a rush? You've got so much to do, you don't have time to pray and seek God. Or you get up in the morning and you first check your phone. You first check your text messages. And you first check your emails and your Instagram account and Facebook. And your mind is distracted from the one thing needful. Give your fresh moments of the day to the Lord and to His kingdom. Daniel did it 3 times in his day, and morning was one of them. Martin Luther was once asked what plans he had for his day, and he said, I have so much to do. I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Well, maybe that's not realistic for us. But what about the first 3 minutes? The first moments of our day. First in our interest. First in our life. First in our day. Fourthly, first in our week. The Lord has given us one day set aside from every other task and all the kingdoms of this world and our own kingdom building in our other days of the week. He's given us one day set aside to seek first the kingdom of God. We can set aside our daily task and focus on Him, His Word, His kingdom, His righteousness, His people, the means of grace. It's the Lord's Day. It's a day devoted to the King, the first day of the week, and we want to be refreshed on that day, and we want to worship Him, and we want to be under His Word, and we want to come together like... And sometimes we're not able to, like John on the Isle of Patmos, but he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Don't we want that? Don't we need that for Him to be first in our week? Now, I read a story of General Zachary Taylor, the 12th President of the United States of America. I read that the term of the president before him ended on March 3, 1849. And that Zachary Taylor was to be sworn in on March 4, 1849.
But he refused to be sworn in on that day because it was Sunday. And he said, going to church is a higher priority than becoming President of the United States. And he postponed his inauguration till Monday, March 5, 1849. Can you think of anything more important than becoming the President of the United States? Zachary Taylor could. It was going to church. It was seeking God and His kingdom first. Do we do that? Do we give the kingdom of God this priority? Does it have first place in our heart and in our life? Is it first in our interest? First in our life, young people. First in our day. First in our week. And when we ask questions that we need to ask about major life decisions, what work to engage in, young people, who to marry, what studies to pursue, where to live, how to deal with difficulties and trials, do we ask, how will this promote the King's honor? How will this advance the King's glory? Friends, do we seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first? Parents, do our children know it, that it comes first in our lives? We don't just want our children to have a good job and have a nice car, but we want them to go to eternity seeking this kingdom first. We want this priority for ourselves and for our children. We need this pursuit for ourselves and for our children. And to that, the Lord Jesus adds a promise, our third point. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the promise He gives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, the things that the Lord Jesus had just spoken about, the food and the drink and the clothes, what we will eat and what we will drink and what we will put on, how that can so preoccupy us, or some of us especially, how that can consume our heart and mind, just like in the days of the Lord Jesus. And in those days, they didn't have grocery stores like we do, and they didn't have water coming out of taps in their homes in various places. And to have clothes on your body in the days of Jesus meant work, and it cost precious life earnings. But how these things too can preoccupy us. We've got a family to feed. We've got to clothe them. We need food. We need a lunch. We need something to eat. We need a house, a job, money. We need things. We need all these things, but we're not to be consumed with these things, because it's just stuff, Jesus says. All these things, they're just things, earthly things, needed things, no doubt, for our daily life, but not the one thing needful. They are important things, but not all important things. Do you see why we need our eyes open to see the importance of the Savior, so that we would be taken up with the Savior and not stuff? We need to see the importance of the King, so that we would not be consumed with just things that can't save us from hell and give us righteousness and give us peace. That's how the Lord Jesus urges us, congregation, to seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, and that does mean we need to plan, and we need to go to the store, no doubt about it. But we don't need to be anxious about it. He'll add it to you. Jesus, when He uses the word translated as added, He takes a word from the world of business and commerce. If you went to the marketplace and you were to buy a certain amount of barley, for instance, or grain, and then the salesman would measure out the amount for you, and then he would add in a little bit more for good measure. That's the idea here. He wanted the customer to know he had given you more than you had bargained for, and that's how we have products that say on the bottle 30% bonus. It's more than you paid for, apparently. The company is throwing it in for nothing. That's how we need to understand it. All these things shall be added to you. If you seek me and put me first in your daily life, you won't lose. You won't be the poorer for it. All these things will be added unto you. The Father will see to it that you are clothed and cared for. In the words of Philippians 4 verse 19, He will supply all your needs. He will not always give you luxury, but He will supply your necessity. Paul knew that by experience. He could write that to the sacrificing and generous Philippian Christians. My God shall supply all your need. That's how the Father took care of the widow in 2 Kings 4. She couldn't pay her creditors. Her husband had died. Her two sons were going to be taken as servants by the creditor to pay off the debt. And she goes to Elisha. How little she has. She has only one jar of oil. Elisha says, take as many pots and as many pans as you can. Borrow from your neighbors. Pour the oil into all these vessels. Sell the oil, pay off your debts, and you and your sons can live off the rest. All these things shall be added unto you. He knows how to supply your needs if you love the Lord Jesus and trust Him. So David says in the Old Testament in Psalm 37, I have been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You make the kingdom of God your concern. God will make you his concern. Let me use an illustration. The story is told of Queen Elizabeth I. When she was sending out diplomats and ambassadors on her behalf, she chose this man who had a big company with all the stress that came along with it. He knew it would be a great honor to be an ambassador for the Queen, but he was concerned about what would happen to his business. And when the Queen heard of his concern, she said to him, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. That's his basic promise here. You seek my good, I will seek your good. You take care of this, I'll take care of you. Or to use another illustration, someone who became a professor at Harvard Business School, a gifted writer and teacher, he was once asked to give advice to young people setting out in life. He said this to young people, invest a lot of time when you're young to find the purpose for your life. And then he shared how when he studied at university trying to complete his degree in 2 years, he said that in the midst of that, he decided to spend an hour every night reading and praying and thinking about why he was put on this earth. He realized that figuring out the answer to what am I here for was what he needed to know, even though it meant an hour of not studying for his business program. And he was willing to spend time on it every day. Should we not do the same? I wonder if we take time out of our day to pray to the Lord. If we seek a quiet place, boys and girls, you too, and ask Him to teach us about Christ and about His kingdom and about His mercy and His suitability and His beauty and His priority. It's what Jesus did in a way that no one else did or could do.
He came to this earth to do the very thing He is calling His disciples to do. What a life He lived. What priorities He had. And they were never wrong or misplaced. And what a righteousness He merited, but it meant that everything was taken away from Him. He had nowhere to lay His head, no pillow for His head. His clothes were taken from Him. He cried out on the cross, "I thirst." But He did that so that He can supply you and me with everything that we need in life and death, especially the bread and of life and the water of life and a robe of righteousness. Why would you want to do without that? Maybe you say, "Oh, but everything is fine, Pastor. I have food and I have drink and I have possessions and I don't know Christ, but I'm fine. Oh, I have a little bit of religion, but isn't that enough?" No, it's not enough. You see, it's possible to have plenty now, but to have poverty later. Plenty now, but eternal misery later. It's possible to have it all, to gain the whole world and to lose your soul. This promise of adding everything you need is for those who take refuge to Jesus Christ, the King of this kingdom. But if you don't trust in Him, then the day will come when He will begin to subtract wealth and health and food and drink, and you'll become sick. And the doctor will say, "There's not much we can do for you, I'm sorry." And what if you die like that and go to hell? Then you won't even have a drop of water to cool your tongue. Because for the non-Christian, it counts. All these things will be subtracted from you. But for the Christian, it means all these things will be added freely for the sake of Christ. Seek Him. Seek His kingdom. You might lose things, dear believer. You might lose a spouse. You might lose a loved one. You might lose your bonus at work. You might lose your reputation, but you will have enough with Jesus. And you'll have peace instead of anxiety, hope instead of fear, heaven instead of hell. Why would you not trust Him? Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most gracious, good-doing Lord, help us to take these words to heart spoken by the chief prophet and teacher, who did it Himself in ways that we never can, and yet calls His disciples to consecrate the first day of the week to holy worship and rest, to begin each day by giving Thee the dew of the morning and the communion of heaven, to begin married life seeking Thy blessing in opening a new business to sanctify that venture with the supplications and to be guided by Thee. Help us to begin and to continue and to end with Thee, and that we may find our way, though it isn't always easy, yet is cared for by Thee and strewn with heaven's blessings. Help us to seek Thee first, out of love, given by Thy Holy Spirit, and to seek Thee always, and keep us from the attitude that says, "I'll do it later," and may find that the later never comes. Let Thy goodness lead us to repentance. Bless the instruction in Sunday school, young people's
catechism, men's society, ladies' society, adult Bible class, to remind us of who Thou art and to bring us to Thyself and to replenish our strength and to refresh our souls with Thy grace. We have nothing else that can give us hope in a future. But in Jesus Christ, grant it freely, and grant that it may redound to Thy praise and honor. Forgive our sins in preaching and in listening. Remember us in the days ahead. Bring us together also on the Lord's day, and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.